Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our gospel lesson for today is kind of a tricky one. Not because it's hard to preach. No, the word of God is very clear. But rather that I don't give too much away of the sermons for Ascension, for the Sunday after Ascension, and for Pentecost. Because our text very much sets up those texts and the truths found in our Lord's Ascension and also in his sending of the Helper, the Advocate. And so it is a wonderful text that prepares us for those things that Jesus Christ very clearly did for his apostles and for us too. Jesus says, it is important, it is necessary that I go away. And yes, you are sorrowful, the world rages, but it is necessary. For I must ascend back to my Father and your Father. I must be seated at the right hand of our Father Almighty, that I may be with you in a different way. I must ascend to the right hand of God the Father Almighty so that he and I may send the Holy Spirit to you, the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Helper. Yes, I know you desire me to be with you in this same way, but it is to your benefit. Because our Lord is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, he is now with us everywhere. While for those 33 years he was in a specific time and place, he is now able to be with us here at St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Waterford, Wisconsin, while he is dwelling with Christians throughout the world. Now, here, when his word is proclaimed over the bread and the wine, we will have him physically among us. We will receive his body. We will receive his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. All the while, Christians throughout the whole world will be doing that too. Yes, it's to our benefit that Jesus ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit is with us. He dwelt on the apostles, and he dwells in each and every one of us. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He has washed you in the blood of the Lamb through the waters of holy baptism. Jesus and his Father send the Holy Spirit that he might come and he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. There are so many sins that we must repent of, but the greatest sin is the sin against the Holy Spirit. The greatest sin is to deny the work that Jesus Christ has done. That grace worked in us by the Holy Spirit. For to deny that Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself and went to the cross and suffered death and the pains and the beatings and all of these atrocious things for each and every one of us, to deny those things casts us out of salvation. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us this very day. If you are here this morning and you are hearing the words of our Lord, it is because of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, the Helper. He will convict of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. We know the difference between right and wrong because God, the Holy Spirit, has inspired all of the words of these scriptures that we might see God's will for our life. And ultimately, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Yes, God's promise to Adam and Eve is fulfilled in the cross of Jesus Christ. For on that cross, the heel of the seed is bruised, but the head of the devil's seed is crushed. The devil may rage and roar, and I know that there are days that it doesn't feel like he's judged. It doesn't feel like Christ has won the victory. He torments us in our sin. He tells us we're not worthy of a God who loves us. And because we're not worthy, there's no way God could love us. It seems very clearly that the devil still rages in this world and corrupts the eternal truths of our Father. And yet the devil is still chained. The devil is God's devil. He works to actually further the kingdom according to God's will. And there will be a day when that chain will be gone, because the devil will send eternity in hell. Never once again will he accuse you. Never once again will he tempt you, for he will be gone. Judgment. The ruler of this world is judged. Jesus says, I have many things I still need to say to you, and I will give them to you. And he certainly did. If ever you want to know what God has to say about something, open your Bible, read God's word, and see how that word comes freely into your mind. It is the breath of the Spirit breathed into you. This is how God speaks to us. Today, our church is celebrating Cantate Sunday, meaning sing. You got the words in Psalm 98 as the beginning of our intro. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Alleluia. It is fitting that we in the church sing. It is fitting because the devil flees from the song of the church, flees from the fact that God's majesty is sung. The devil hates it when Christians sing of our Lord's glory. The church is celebrating the song that our Lord has given us. He has given us the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, which are the Old Testament hymnal. He has given us many songs throughout the Scriptures. We are called to sing. The Lutheran Church has historically been referred to throughout the world as the singing church. And it really makes sense when you think about it. Our worship service is set up to be a constant singing. The pastor sings the call. The people respond by singing the response and the return. Think about the majestic hymns that we have. The wonderful hymn writers, cantata writers. We have Johann Sebastian Bach as Lutherans. A great gift of our Lord. Yes, our Lord has richly blessed us. And it makes sense that we should sing unto him that new song. But it's not really a new song, is it? It's a song that Christians have sung for thousands of years. It is a confession of who Jesus Christ is, of what he has done. Maybe some of the hymns are somewhat unfamiliar to us, even though our forefathers knew them well. Take a look at the hymns that we sing week after week, and you will see why your ancestors fell in love with these hymns, why their ancestors fell in love with them. They so clearly proclaim the word and work of Jesus Christ. Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice may be 10 stanzas long, and yet you tell me which one you would take out. Each stanza confesses Christ. You see a dialogue between the Father and the Son as the Father submits himself to the Father's will to carry out that will to save you and me. The Lutheran Church has always sung. The Lutheran Church has always chanted. In 1941, when she released a new hymnal, the Lutheran hymnal, it's not that the pastors were not to be singing. It's that this was the first hymnal that we had that now had music in it. For the predecessor to TLH had no notes in it whatsoever. And at the end of the day, you don't need the pastor's notes. But the fact is that there is a pastor's guide to that hymnal. And I have it with me today. The music for the liturgy of the Lutheran hymnal. I'll put it out in the narthex after service. And you can see in this volume that the pastor is given much more than what we chant today. Much more. The gospel lesson can be chanted. The epistle lesson can be chanted. These things are a call and response. The creeds can be chanted. The confession and absolution is listed in here with notes to be chanted. This is nothing new. It's not new to the current hymnal. It's not new to the hymnal from 1941. It's not new to Lutheranism. C.F.W. Walther, Carl Ferdinand Wilhelm Walther, is the man that our church and the Missouri Synod is celebrating today. He was the first president of the Missouri Synod. He was also a musician. In fact, we will sing his hymn to close out our service. And there is an image of him up in the choir loft playing the organ. He was a theologian. He was a musician. He was a man who loved and served our Lord Jesus Christ. And he had something to say about chanting. He writes, "Whenever the divine service once again follows the old evangelical Lutheran agendas or church books, it seems that many raise a great cry that it is Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic, when the pastor chants, 'The Lord be with you,' and the congregation responds by chanting, 'And with thy spirit.' Roman Catholic, when the pastor chants the collect and the blessing, and the people respond with the chanted Amen. Prove to me that this chanting is contrary to the word of God, then I too will call it Roman Catholic and have nothing more to do with it. However, you cannot prove this to me. If you insist upon calling every element in the divine service Romish that has been used by the Roman Catholic Church, it must follow that the reading of the epistle and gospel is also Romish. Indeed, it is mischief to sing or preach in the church, for the Roman Church has done this also. Those who cry out should remember that the old Roman Catholic Church possesses every beautiful song of the old Orthodox Church. The chants and antiphons and responses were brought into the church long before the false teachings of Rome crept in. This Christian church, since the beginning, even in the Old Testament, has derived great joy from chanting. For more than 1,700 years, Orthodox Christians have participated joyfully in the divine service. Should we today carry on by saying that such joyful participation is Roman Catholic? God forbid. Therefore, as we continue to hold and to restore our wonderful divine services in places where they have been forgotten, let us boldly confess that our worship forms do not unite us with modern sects or with the Church of Rome. Rather, they join us to the one holy Christian church that is as old as the world and is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah writes these words, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." We as Lutherans, we as Christians, must sing. Because our Lord has conquered sin, death, and the devil on our behalf. Our Lord has conquered death himself. His grave is empty, and because it is empty, ours shall be as well. Why is there so much singing done in the Lutheran Church? Why is there so much singing done in the historic Christian church? Because church is our glimpse of heaven. Church is where heaven comes down to earth. And when you read the scriptures, you will notice that there is a lot of singing in heaven. So sing. Take the words to heart. Prepare them during the week. That's why the hymns are listed in the bulletin, so that you may be practicing ahead of time. That when we gather, you may lend your lips and your voices to proclaim the mighty works that our Lord has done with your brothers and sisters in Christ. not just in these pews, but in the church throughout the world. So sing, dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. The church sings, He's risen, He's risen. Christ Jesus the Lord, He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word. Break forth, hosts of heaven, in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain, their praises prolong. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.